Well, I'm encouraged in preaching, but I'm this morning on this one. And for those of you who take notes, your faith more precious than gold. Your faith more precious than gold. And again, I listened to that prophecy this morning. And as I was listening to that in light of this teaching, I thought, yes, faith works by love. And you know, at the end of the day, we're going to see that it is by God's love and that He loves us, we're preserved and kept. And that love is not going to separate us from Him. His love is far greater, more powerful than ever our love or love even for each other or for wife or husband. And we need to just anchor in that and rely on that and rest in that, that God's love will never separate us. And that is why at the end of the day, faith works by love. The greatest hope is love. And that is why your faith, my faith, and all those that listen to this tape is more precious than gold. We wonder at times why our prayers don't get answered immediately, or why it is we don't get healed immediately, or why the finances I was believing for didn't come at the time when I needed it. Do you know why sometimes these delays? Why sometimes it seems it doesn't work? Because your faith is more precious than gold. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. And remember that this epistle was written years later, with Paul walking, overcoming, believing, an apostle to the churches. Here he's writing this epistle years later out of experience. The one who said, I will never deny you, Lord. And yet he did at that night when Jesus was betrayed. So he's qualified to be able to write about one's faith more precious than gold. And here it is, that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why is your faith more precious than gold? Because it's all about you appearing before Christ, making it in. And I believe that that will be the thing at that day. That is what will stand as a testimony, when we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that our faith is more precious than gold. And of course, he says that how this is achieved, if we look back to verse 5, for we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In that ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through those manifold trials. Yet he goes on to say, through all of that, your faith is more precious than gold. Why are we speaking on this morning? Because we are kept by the power of God and have to be by faith unto salvation for one purpose, to be revealed in the last days. Nothing will be revealed otherwise. God will have nothing to himself unless he preserves and keeps his people. And so that preservation is that power in our lives, that dunamis power, that we're kept by God, by our faith, unto salvation, so that we're ready to be revealed in the last days. And that is why your faith is more precious than gold. Hallelujah. The purpose also is to bring a true, godly, Christian, everlasting character in you. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that is another reason why you are preserved and kept. Why your faith is more precious than gold? Because God has to bring that godly character out of you and me. And that is why we're being changed from glory into glory. It's about Christ in you. Christ in you now means that God can perfect our character, perfect us, perfect our faith, our stand, our overcoming, our believing. All the while you are believing for things, all the while you get up every morning and you face that day by faith, you are being perfected. God is working at your character. He's molding you. You're the potter. You're the clay on the potter's wheel. And he's perfecting, he's molding, he's working, he's changing you and I. At times we don't know it, but that is what is happening. And in seasons you begin to realize that you weren't the same 4 years ago. That things have changed in your life. That you've come on. Things have developed. there's a more mature aspect about you. Your attitude toward the word or trials is changing. That is what he's doing. And that is why our faith is more precious than gold. And as God says, as we stay in there, just keep him with it, his love will never separate us. And that is why you can confidently, whatever you go through, know God never made a mistake in your life when calling you from the foundation of the world. You are not here by a mistake. You are not praising God by mistake or whatever it is. It's all purposed. It's all been predestined. It's all for a reason. This meeting today, this word that we're receiving, is for a purpose and a reason. Because your faith is more precious than gold. Your faith isn't just to name it and claim it and all for your material needs in this life, as we've heard in prophecy. It's eternal. It has an eternal principle. What we're believing for, God working with your life, your character is setting you in motion for eternity. What he's doing with you is an eternal thing that will last throughout eternity. That inward work of the Spirit, that changing, that molding into the image of Christ, the changing and perfecting of our character is standing us steadfast for the future. That never changes. That is being perfected and worked upon. And I'm going to tell you something. In God's economy, in God's thinking and God's time, that's more important to him. And you know, if you just love the Lord and you know that he loves you, he will not forsake you. He knows all the needs. He knows all those bills that are to be met. He knows all those physical needs, everything. He knows those that we're believing for, our family, our loved ones, our rebellious children. You name it, what we're going through. He knows all of that. He's given us those promises. And his love says, I will do it. Now, in future, when you start to read these promises, let's look at them as love promises. He's promised because he loves. That's why. And what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Certainly not the devil. And he can get very vocal at times, roaring like a lion. But God says, that won't even separate us, you see. So it's all about putting the Lord first, putting that kingdom first. Let go of those anxieties. Let go of those things. Well, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen? We've got a deadlock to meet. What is going to happen? We're no nearer to it. Let it go. Let all those fears, those anxieties, those things that your mind still dwells on, let it go. The love of God in your life is far more important. Think upon him. Think upon the fact that you love him and he loves you. Let's start getting rid of those things that hinder us from that love. You know? Why? Because your faith is more precious than gold. And that's why God is going to bring in us a lasting character. That is Christ in us. God wishes to destroy the power of Satan in your life. Or you keep listening to him. That's why he's working with your character, my character, working Christ in us, because all of that is about deliverance. And what is deliverance? Deliverance is basically, I'm not going to listen to Satan anymore. That's really what deliverance is about. So deliverance is saying, I'm not going to hear what he says. I'm not going to look at what he's suggesting. I'm not going to hear what he's whispering in my ear. That is why God is working in your life, your heart, your character. So that when he starts, and we know when he starts, you can go. You can go. And when he comes on the scene, or when he tries to trip you up, or whatever it is, all he will just say, oh, it's you, and turn your back and carry on. That's what he's doing. That's what he'll bring us to. That's how Jesus overcame him. Oh, it's you. And by the very saying, by the very attitude, what you're saying is, clear off, you're not welcome. Simple as that. Because the love of God that's working in your life, my life, is changing all of that. I long for that. I'm pressing in for that. And do you know why? Because I am sick and tired. I hate what Satan does, what he is doing, how he seems to get the upper hand every time. And God will work that hate in your heart if it's not there yet. He will work it, and ask him to put it in there. And so God wishes to destroy the powers of Satan, and that is why he's raising an end time army in this last day, who will overcome, overcome the powers of Satan, simply by the fact, oh, it's you, is it? And turn their back and carry on, and not listen. That's our overcoming. That is what is going to put the powers of Satan down. As we know, there is to be a last end time warfare. And the church has got to overcome this. The church has got to break through in this, because we've been given the keys, Satan is under our feet, and we've got to wield that power. The church has got near it, but the church has not completed, finished it. And that is the point. That is why we hold to the overcoming message that sons will be manifested in the last day. Hallelujah. And that is why, if you're overcoming, you're in faith, and you know your faith is more precious than gold, then it's James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, it's you. And because it's him, praise God. There you are. You can count it all joy when you know who it is that's trying to rob you. And when you really know in your heart, you've had a revelation of this, oh, this is just Satan. This is just him. Praise God. Counting it all joy. You will. You will, because your faith is more precious than gold. And you're going to rise up with whatever's happening, whatever's going on around you, or even how you feel. I've had to do this recently. I've gone through a physical trial. And I thought, Kim, your faith is more precious than gold. Come on, let's praise God. Let's count it all joy. Hallelujah. And I'm doing this simply because it's just the enemy. And who is he? You know, it was a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough. This is real. These aren't just words. This is not just to patronize us. You know, sometimes, you know, I went through a period looking at things like this, where, and I wasn't saying it in so many words, but I felt, you know, God's just patronizing me. That's what I used to feel like. And accompanied with that was an anger. And so God had to deliver me. So, no, I am not. This is very real. Men, women have come through deep experiences. They've been able to write that because they know that to be true. You see? No, We've got to hold on to his promises. Why? Because those promises are the love of God to us. The love of God. And we hold on to those promises also because he says those promises never change in verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That tells me that the promises from my Father never change. He never changes. They don't vary. These promises don't vary because you're going through a certain trial. So God says, well, we better change this promise here. We better alter it a bit, you know, because you're going through this trial. No, doesn't. He doesn't do that. We do that. Preachers do that behind the pulpit. But God doesn't. God doesn't. Every good gift, every perfect gift. So he says it's not only good, but it's perfect. Twice he emphasized this. Is from above. Thank the Lord for that. That's why your faith, your blessings, this teaching this morning, all that we've been doing and will do, worshipping God in spirit and truth, comes from above. Fresh manna. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Never turns. No shadow. No change. Now, if that doesn't tell me that God loves me, then I don't know what does. And I can hold on to that, and nothing will separate me from the love of God, because our faith is more precious than gold. And so, you know, for us to see the glory of God, we're going to have to believe for this. Because this is what this is about. Your faith more precious than gold. You're enduring, you're staying with it. It's all about the glory of God. And if the glory of God is not going to be seen in the house of God, then it's never going to be seen anywhere else. Believe me. And that is why the glory of God must be seen, and we should expect to see it when we come together with meetings just like this today. I'm coming here, I'm here today to behold the glory of God. That's what we're here for. And if you're not here for the glory of God, you've come to the wrong place. That is what this is about. John 11, verse 40. John chapter 11 and verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? There you go. It comes on the basis of believing. Jesus said, if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. You will see what he's doing. And that's why, you see, it's by revelation. That is why we're taught by revelation in these last days. Because it's all about the glory of God. Beholding the glory of God. Now, we may have different ideas and conceptions about our understanding of the glory of God. But you know, the glory of God is seen in diverse ways. It's not just seen by being caught up into the heavenlies in light and everything. That, yes, is the glory of God. Moses went up onto the Mount Sinai and there he beheld the glory of God. The glory of God came down in the tabernacle amongst the children of Israel. The glory of God came upon us, fell upon us when we were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. The glory of God is among his people where two or three are gathered together. We come to worship God in spirit and in truth. The glory of God is beheld in his word. We're still wanting this glory of God to be an emotion, a feeling. Your faith, which is more precious than gold, has got nothing to do with feelings. Jesus said it's from out of the innermost being flows. Can I say it? His glory, his presence, his power. Now, I know I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. If I was addressing this morning a load of mediums who go into these trances, meditations, and have been doing it for years, they would know exactly what I'm saying when I would say, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. They say, I know what you're saying. Out of us will flow ectoplasm. Know what that's all about? Comes out of them. And I won't tell you where it comes from, because it gives it away immediately. But it's like a mist. Starts to come out of them. A fog, a mist. And in time, that begins to speak, voices speak from it. Or a figure will appear, demonic form, just in a human figure, will begin to appear in that mist. And will begin to speak. And of course people think that that's their deceased, their loved one. Did you know mediums can perform that? Yes. Well, let's take that over now with the Lord. Let's take that over to the baptism of the Spirit. Let's take that over to us, where God doesn't take us over, where we don't go into trances, but he says, out of you will come those rivers of living water. What for? For the glory of God to be manifested. That's how he's manifested. He comes out of you. It's spiritual contact. Christians are so blind to this. So asleep. Satan's been working for years. He trains to the utmost. They understand it. So what comes out of you first? Well, he says he's baptized you in the Holy Spirit. And the sign of that that comes out of you are these languages. Sounds. Heavenly sounds, earthly sounds, languages. And you can speak in the natural, you can sing in the spirit. So there's the sign of it. But he said it doesn't stop there. Out of you will come the anointing to preach, to prophesy, to heal. Miracles. And so it goes on. To sing, to perform. It comes out of you. You see. Oh, but I don't feel like it. Oh, well, praise God. What has feelings got to do with it? Jesus has said, your faith is more precious than gold. That is how the glory of God is seen, you see. That is why he's working such deliverance in us. So that what comes out of us is not corrupted, is not defiled, is not a wrong spirit in operation or whatever. That's why he's working like he's working. You see? Man is a spiritual being. You are spiritual. And that is why God is closing doors in your life, my life, so that not another spirit can attach and come through that channel. You see, that's why you can hear false prophecies, false ministries, visions, because a different spirit has attached to that person through sin, unbelief, or whatever it would be. You see, that's why we're to test all things, discern all things. Why do we do that? Because we are people who worship God in spirit and in truth. The spirits have to be tested, you see. Because Jesus reveals in the last days, Satan will be working overtime with his people, with this one. Because whatever God does, Satan is counterfeiting. You mark my words. So it's all for the glory of God. And the glory of God is tried and tested. And how is it tried and tested, the glory of God? the glory of God, that God is blessing us in this church. How's it tried and tested? The same as what Jesus went through in Hebrews 4, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 5. Here it is. Sorry, I've written it down wrong. It speaks about where Jesus also went through trial and testing, the same as us. You know the verse that I'm on about. And he went through the same as what we went through. And that is why, indeed, he's a high priest now, who's touched like we were, yet without sin. So he went through the same that we went through. And so that is what God is doing with us, because of the glory of God. We're going to be tried, we're going to be tested for this. Because Jesus was, so are we. Simply because it's about the glory of God. And so, that is why our faith is more precious than gold. Simply because we're tried, we are tested to come forth ready in the last days to manifest the glory of God. And how the glory of God is desperately needed to be seen. Is it not? I believe so. I believe so. And that's why we count it all joy through all trials. Why? Because it's Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That is the reason why, you see. So everything you're going through, everything you're facing, no matter how strange, how bizarre, whatever it would be, that is working within you an eternal standing, an eternal principle. That's what it's working in you. What you are going through today, or what you went through yesterday, that I had to go through that, or I'm going through this, it is essential because it's about my faith, which is more precious than gold. It is setting for me an eternal standing with Christ throughout eternity. And all of that is about the glory of God. Your trials, your testings, your temptations are about the glory of God. Now we must understand this. And we can rest in this. And we're not striving. We're not trying to make it happen. We've all done this in the past. We've tried to make it happen. We've tried to save our loved ones. We tried to get healed, or you name it. You can't. You can't. Can a leopard change its spots? A zebra in stripes? Of course it can't. Can you change yourself? No. It is by the grace, love and mercy of God. It's because he loves us. Hallelujah. And so all of this is that you and I are going to have this godly character. And that's of course why God worked with Job. That's why we got the book of Job. A very powerful book. God was working with this man, showing him that his faith was more precious than gold. And I don't think any of us would go through what that man went through. And even his wife told him to curse God and die or give up. So she wasn't even much help, when really you would think your helpmate, at least that, you know, I get comfort there. We didn't even get comfort there. And his friends who came to try and console, help him, they didn't understand. And Job knew they didn't understand. And at times you've experienced that, haven't you? You've gone through a trial or a testing, and a brother or sister's come along to try and help you and console you. And you're grateful for it, but you know full well they don't understand. And they're not saying the right things, they don't see it. Why? Because it's revealed to you. God doesn't want you getting comfort from somebody else. And it's not to say that we're not to minister to others. So don't get me wrong. But sometimes in a trial, God says this is between you and I and the enemy, and nobody else is going to understand this, but I do. And don't even try and look to man, because he won't understand it. And you'll only get more frustrated because they're not ministering to you. You see, God has to deliver us from that one. And I know some are going through trials like that. And God's trying to get your attention that it's between you and God, because when you come out of this, there's not only going to be a double blessing, but your character is going to be more in the likeness of Christ. It is. You have to go through it. Nobody else can and will go through it. You have to go through it. And you're not going to get at the moment this comfort from anyone else in that sense. And the reason being is because their eyes are not open like yours are. God has opened your eyes, giving you a revelation to what you're going through. And it's between you and God. And that's why Satan's there. He's trying to sift your faith. Satan has said before God, give me access into their life. I'll show you the weakness that's in their life. Let me have a go at them, and they'll turn round and they'll forsake you. They'll turn round and they'll no longer want to walk with you. And God says, all right, you've got that access, but you will not take their life. I believe that goes on. I believe that principle goes on. I have seen it going on with some of my brothers and sisters in this body. I've never said anything. I've just kept it before the Lord. I've prayed on it. And in a sense, I've said, Lord, you've allowed this to happen. You've allowed Satan for a season to try them. Because at the end of it, you see a mighty deliverance. You see, God as a pastor at times has opened my eyes to see that. And that's why I don't interfere. Oh, I'm there, yes, pray to help as I can, but I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to interfere what's going on. Because A, I can't stop it, and B, God's allowed it, and C, God sees at the end what's going to happen. And sometimes you just simply pray, Father, through this deep trial and test my brother or sister's going through, Lord, let their faith fail not. Comfort them, be with them, preserve them, keep them. Why? Because their faith is more precious than gold. And they must come forth revealed in the last day. God cannot deny that. God cannot deny that which is put within man. You see, God has put his image in us. God has put his seal in us. God has provided for us. God has covered us with his blood. Now, the question I'm going to raise is, all those things that are of God, he's put into you, is he going to deny himself that? Can he go against that which he's put of himself in you? Can he deny that? Can he turn his back on that? Because that's all about his love. Of course he can't. He'd have to deny himself. He'd have to change himself. He'd have to change these promises. Are you beginning to see it now? That you are one with him. He has purchased. He has possessed you. He has taken you. You are his treasure. He's not going to deny that. And so whatever we go through, we can rest in this. That this is all working together for good. Because God loves my life, you see. He can't change this. He's preserving us. So don't resist the potter's hand. It's as simple as that. Whatever you're going through, just go with it like the wind and let him work, mold, perfect. Yes, maybe it's hurting, but this is absolutely ideal. Do not resist the potter's hand. And as we bring this now to a conclusion, let's turn to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, verses 8 to 12. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of your hand. Be not exceedingly angry, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all your people. The holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou restrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very severely? With a question mark. Well, praise God, he won't. That's the plight at the moment we're in. Speaks of Zion. Why? Because at the moment, the house is in the potter's hand being dealt with. That's what's happening to the house of God. At the moment, it is in the potter's hand being moulded, perfected. What for? For God's glory in the last days. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, we worship a great God, Lord. Father, you know how to console and comfort us when we go through trials and testings. Lord, when we can at times get confused and wondering what's going on. Lord, you know how to speak life into our heart, into our situation. And Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory for this. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this church and with my brothers and sisters. Lord, our faith is more precious than gold, as you have revealed this morning. And Lord, we rest in you, knowing that you will bring us forth, revealed in the last days for your glory. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's worship Jesus. Give him all the praise that is due. Wonderful Savior.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, he is faithful. When we are not faithful, he is always loving, even when we are not loving. And at times when we feel like giving up, he never gives up. And I think that's so powerful in our lives that encourages us still to come week after week after week. And I know it's right when I get together with my brothers and sisters. It's right. It's like putting gloves on. It feels right. Why? Because it's about the glory of God. It's God's glory being manifested, being seen. His glory speaking to us. Very often we don't think about the glory of God speaking to us. We see it all too often at times in emotions and feelings and everything. But the glory of God very often is also speaking. And I believe he's spoken this morning. And take it away. Live it. Rely on it. Just take it as God has given. Don't question it. Don't argue with it. Just let it work in your life. That seed that he has planted today. Amen. Lord bless, preserve, and keep you.